Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create a better life through complete connection to yourself, to others, and to the world around you. Today, we're going to be talking about connecting to your partner, specifically building trust. This is going to be a little bit longer one. This is a really huge deal. Before we dive into that today, quick shout out to new listeners in Dallas, Texas. Thank you for this connection. We're so excited to have you here. If you have questions, thoughts, ideas, go over to CatherineColleen.com. The link is in the show notes. Go to the Meet Catherine Here room. It used to be the community page, and check that out. There you can join the email list, and that's how you can send in your questions. You can just write back directly to that email, and when you first sign up, it'll send you a quick primer, just a little one-pager on the stages so that you can follow along. So, connecting to your partner, building trust. Trust is the most crucial element of any relationship, I don't care what. Now, while you might do business with someone that you don't fully trust, you will not last long in an intimate partnership without trust. Trust, once lost, is impossible to rebuild in the same way and at the same depth. So you have one shot to get trust right from day one. Now, there are plenty of authors and counselors that work to restore broken trust in close relationships, and there are many who claim success, but in our human psychology, trust is such a critical foundation that unless the root cause of the problem is now gone, there will always be lingering mistrust in the subconscious of at least one of you. If the root cause of the broken trust is now gone, then it may be possible to build trust again. So, for example, if the trust is broken by infidelity, you'll have to dig deep to find the root cause. Why did they cheat? What were they looking for? Were they looking for acceptance, love, caring, adventure, danger? Are you ready to supply that for them? Has the environment changed somehow in the relationship, in the life? But trust can be broken by other means as well. We always think of infidelity first, but that's not always what it is. Because partners trust in a lot of things. You trust that you are the number one priority. You trust that they will do what they say they will do. You trust that they love you enough to be on time, to take time, and to focus on you. You trust them to stick to the spend plan month after month and to discuss major purchases. Right? There's kind of a financial trust there. You trust that if they have a problem that they're facing, that they will bring it to you. And you trust that they will be there for you when you need them, and so on. So we trust in a lot of things. Trust can be broken by a gambling addict who hides the losses. There's several different types of trust being broken there. Trust can be broken by a partner that sets certain topics as off limits for discussion. Or a partner who treats your children as second class because they're not biologically theirs. In these situations, you must remove the environment that caused it by having total transparency on the finances, or fostering an environment of open communication and squashing jealousy through serious self-work. Then trust might be restored. in cases where one partner turned against the other, cases of abuse and harm, whether that's physical or emotional or psychological, I hate to say it, and please somebody prove me wrong, you are not going to get that trust back again. This relationship will never be what it was. And that's a good thing. Let it go. So you see how fragile trust is. But at the same time, how trust is the singular foundation for the entire relationship. So this is why it's such a critical but complicated topic. So let's suppose that you have not yet broken trust, or that your relationship is new and is just starting to build trust, or that perhaps that relationship has not yet come along and you're smartly thinking ahead. Most partners have what I call a default level of trust. You trust each other on lots of things, but you may have never actually discussed that fact. You may have never actually talked about the fact that you trust each other on lots of things. And this is where trust and expectation get confused. So, for example, you expect that they will do or not do certain things. You trust that they will do or not do them. Same thing, right? No, this is not exactly the same thing. Expectation is a form of attachment. It sets up for stress and disappointment. But is that the same as trust? Trust is defined as reliance on or confidence in some person or quality. Expectation is about visualizing specific future actions. So trust is inherently broader, while we expect specific actions that validate that trust. So let's do an example. I trust that he loves me, so I expect that he will demonstrate that by giving me attention and treating me kindly. See, the trust is in the love and the expectation is in the action. So when he does not give me attention, I fear that he does not love me because the expectation of the action was not met. So trust is about the quality of love, while expectation is about the specific action or inaction of giving attention or not cheating or so on. See the difference? If you require your partner to fulfill a bunch of expectations in order to maintain your trust, then you have no trust at all. This is where trust gets really fun. So if you have all these expectations, it means that you're looking for a demonstration of the thing you want to trust. So trust in relationships really comes down to believing that this person would not harm you, whether physically, mentally, professionally, emotionally, and otherwise. Trust is a risk assessment. That's so important, I'm going to say it again. Trust is a risk assessment. And that's why we might trust a stranger but not our parents. Trust is a deeply rooted measure of what risk this person poses to do us harm. Or what risk does this person pose to allow someone else to do us harm? If I trust you, it means I think you're not likely to do me harm, and I think you'll have my back if someone else tries to harm me. If I don't trust you, it means I think you're likely to do me harm in some way or to allow others to do me harm. Now, like all measures, it's a sliding scale. You can trust someone a little or a lot or not at all, or you can trust them 100%. So assuming that trust has not been broken, how do you build it? How do you get closer to 100%? And that's where expectation and validation are actually your friend. So here are the five things you need to do to build trust with your partner. Step one, you need to drop all judgment and expectation. It sounds easy, right? That's not easy. You need to drop all judgment and all expectation. Then you need to express your needs and express your fears. Then you need to listen to your partner do the same thing. Express their needs and express their fears. And you can see here why you need to have dropped all the judgment and expectation before you express this to each other. Because your needs and fears don't mean anything about them, and their needs and fears don't mean anything about you. It just is, these are your needs and these are your fears. Then you need to give and receive support for your needs. Help each other meet your needs. And you need to give and receive protection or care. And it's actually a lot simpler than it sounds. I know this sounds incredibly difficult and complex, but it's simpler than it sounds. So first, put your judgment and your expectations on the shelf, because you need to be able to speak freely. And then speak up. Someone has to go first. So don't assume that your partner can read your mind or that they know all your needs and your fears. Be brutally honest and be kind. Now listen. Do not interpret, just listen to them. And remember, make a mental list. Hell, write it down. Don't respond. Just listen and make a list of what you hear, whether it's on paper or in your head. What do they need? What are their fears? Catalog their needs and their fears. Now, once you've both shared your needs, support each other. Well, what is support? What does that mean? We throw that word around a lot. You want your partner to support you, but can you define what that means? How can you support them? Support is really just about finding ways to make sure that they get what they need. And people are not always good at attending to their own needs. And that's where a good partner comes in. Knowing what their needs are, you can notice when they're not being met. You can ask how you might help them meet their needs. For example, if sleep is a major need for your partner and you notice that they didn't sleep well last night, you can offer a hug, say that you noticed, and ask if they could fit in a nap later. Or maybe you go to bed a little earlier tonight. You can offer to take some of their chores tonight to give them a break. That is what support looks like. From your partner's perspective, just having you notice their need, the fact that you noticed, will make them more likely to be kind to themselves today. Being seen is the basis for connection. So the effect of this on your deepening connection to your partner cannot be overstated. So then I want you to address each other's fears similarly. If you know that, for example, your partner has a fear of abandonment, you can make a point to come home when you say you will. Simple enough. If you have a fear of spiders, your partner might be the one to get them out of the house. It's not hard, but the effect on your connection with your partner will be profound. It all starts with trust. This is the basis of everything. So you're building that trust by nothing more than, number one, releasing all judgment. There's no judging your partner. Don't do that. No judgment, no expectations. Then speak up about needs and fears. And then provide for each other. Notice when they need a little help meeting their needs. notice when you can protect them or provide care. And that's how you build trust. Again, this is the number one thing in all relationships. So this is the place you want to start, whether you've been together for decades or days or weeks or you haven't met them yet. Trust is where you begin. And trust is something that you're always working to, I guess, validate. In this world where it's hard to know what to trust or who to trust, you can actively work to build that with your partner. So as we start to do more couple stuff, you'll notice that we're doing more money stuff, business stuff, couple stuff, but also consciousness stuff and advanced meditation stuff. Make sure that you get your questions in. Follow the links in the show notes. And let me know how I can help. Thanks for joining me this time. I think I've given you enough homework there to do in your relationship tonight. Thanks for joining us. And as always, I'm wishing you, Parna Asati, complete connection.